Hello. Thanks for being with us. Just a reminder before we get started, you can request a copy of any program you hear. We provide them in CD format, and we also include the written copy so that you can follow along with the CD if you want to. Feel free to request any message you want, even if it's just to share with a friend. There's no charge for any of our materials and no charge for shipping and handling, so feel free to ask. Listen at the end of the program, and Kim will give you the postal and email addresses. So for today, let's take a look at the synopsis, which begins in Revelation 12:1. I referred to this synopsis last week in our overview of the timeline for the last days. And just a reminder, the word synopsis means short overview. We're looking at Revelation's short overview of the events which start with the birth of Christ and end at the second coming. This will be part one. So this week, let's start with Revelation 12. Following along with me if you can, I'll read verses 1 and 2. It says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered." This woman of Revelation 12, 1 and 2 refers to Israel. She has a crown of 12 stars on her head, which signifies the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 1 says that she is clothed with the sun and that the moon is under her feet. Being clothed with the sun indicates that she has emerged from her time of night into her time of day. The day, in Scripture, refers to a time of light and symbolically refers to that period of time when the light of God shines upon the earth. There's other times when it seems that the Word of God is obscure, that it's so hard to hear the Word of God, and that we have so much difficulty comprehending it. The Bible refers symbolically to these times as the night. When Revelation 12:1 says that she's clothed with the sun and that the moon is under her feet, it means that the nation of Israel has finished her time of being in darkness from the knowledge of God, and that she is now standing with the moon under her feet, which indicates that she has overcome the darkness and has come into the light. And this is exactly what happened to Israel. For approximately 1,500 years, Israel had been in bondage under the law of Moses. God had given the law of Moses to the children of Israel in order to bring the world to a knowledge of sin and that they could not overcome their sin through the works of the law. Under the law of Moses, the understanding of spiritual things was hindered, and Israel could only comprehend God through the physical forms of worship in a physical temple with physical sacrifices to purge their sin. The things that Jesus Christ brought in the New Testament were unknown in the Old Testament. The time of the Old Testament represents the night, and the time of the New Testament at the birth of Christ represents the day. Therefore, the woman, Israel, in Revelation 12:1, has finally overcome the night and the day has now shone upon her. Yet, most of the children of Israel did not truly recognize their Messiah. The new covenant of grace introduced God the Father in a much clearer perspective to all those who would receive him by faith. But the Israelites, because they were so steeped in tradition of the law, had great difficulty in realizing that their salvation could exist just through believing in Jesus Christ without doing the works of the law. For almost 1,500 years, Israel had been God's chosen nation, and all other nations were prevented from coming to God. Beginning with the birth of Christ, a new way was presented to the world for salvation. The law of Moses would be fulfilled through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and now, not just Israel, but all nations would be eligible for eternal life because of the forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus. We know that the first Christians were Jews. And by the way, in case you weren't certain, Israelites and Jews are the same thing. Israelites are called Jews because of being the people inhabiting the land of Judea, which is the land in the general area of Jerusalem. The word Jew is just an alternate spelling of J-U, the first letters of Judea. Anyway, it was the Jews who Jesus first came to in order to fulfill the law, and it was the Jews who had the first opportunity to accept the Messiah. However, most of them rejected Jesus, but many did receive him. Soon it became evident that other nations were also included in the new covenant, and not just Israel, and not through the law of Moses. Although the nation of Israel is still an important nation in the eyes of God, for a time they have been taken out of the way so that the other nations, the Gentiles, could be grafted into the tree of God's chosen people. Revelation 12:2 explains that Israel, which was under the law of Moses, was the vehicle God used to bring about salvation to the world. In a sense, Israel's trials and tribulations under the law of Moses was her birthing pains, and through it, the New Testament covenant of grace came into effect for you and me. We were born by the same process, and without Israel, we would have no part with God at all. In the fullness of time, after having established that all men were completely sinful, and also that the law could not save man from that sinfulness, Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. This synopsis of Revelation 12 tells us that Satan was aware of God's plan to fulfill the law of Moses through Christ Jesus and was waiting to destroy the Messiah as soon as he was born. Satan is referred to in verses 3 and 4 as a great red dragon. Red is the color of extreme sinfulness. Dragon means great monstrous serpent. We see that Satan, as a great red monstrous serpent, is depicted as having 7 heads and 10 horns. And just a side note here, notice that it is Satan that has the 7 heads and 10 horns. Whenever you read about an evil beast in Scripture and it has 7 heads and 10 horns, remember this verse, which tells us that the beast is just a symbolic form of Satan himself. Now, Revelation 12:4 tells us that at the time of Satan's rejection of God's authority in heaven, he also drew away a third of the stars of heaven from God. These stars are angels. Jude 1:6 refers to these angels as leaving their first estate, or in essence, leaving their first home, which was heaven. They chose to reject God just as Satan had rejected God. In reading verse 4, we see that Satan used his tail to draw a third of the angels away from God. This means that it was Satan's sin nature of rejecting God in order to exalt himself, which drew the other angels away. The righteous nature of God was rejected, and Satan and the evil angels chose to act without reason. They became brutish as animals. This was the beginning of sin. The sin nature first rose up in Satan, and he then tempted the other angels, trying to convince them that the rejection of God and their own self-exaltation was a desirable alternative. A third of the angels succumbed to the temptation and no longer accepted the kingdom of God as their kingdom. Verse 4 refers to them as being cast down to the earth. This means that they could no longer work within the heavenly framework of God's kingdom, but had become workers of the sinful nature, of which the people of earth, in their flesh and blood bodies, were especially susceptible. In Revelation 12:4, it says that Satan stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered, so that he could devour her child as soon as it was born. This is a reference to Satan's attempt to kill the Christ child through the edict of King Herod, who called for the death of all children in the area of Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under. We know, of course, that both King Herod and Satan were prevented from killing the Christ child, for an angel had appeared to Joseph and told him to take the child and his mother into Egypt for safety. Now, let me read Revelation 12:5. It says, "And she brought forth a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne." This verse refers to the same woman of verse 2, which is the nation of Israel, who was in labor for the birth of the child. But now she has brought forth the male child, who is Jesus Christ. It says that the child is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. This refers to the power of Jesus Christ to rule with absolute authority. In the end, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is ruler of all. In addition, this verse also states that he was caught up to God. This refers to his ascension to heaven after his resurrection. And by the way, these words which refer to Jesus being caught up are from the Greek word harpazo, which means catching up or catching away. This is where the term rapture is coined, in that to be raptured is to be transported from one place to another, especially in the sense of being transported to heaven. Rapture doesn't mean that it's a pre-tribulation rapture, but only that when Jesus comes in the clouds of heaven, he will gather all of his children together and they also will be raptured or caught up to him, just as verse 4 says that Jesus himself was caught up to the Father. Anyway, let's continue with Revelation 12 and read verse 6. It says, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. This again is referring to Israel, the nation from which Jesus Christ was born. Her flight into the wilderness is a reference to God's provision for that nation until the time of the end, after the times of all the nations of the earth are fulfilled. In essence, the nation of Israel, as a whole, rejected Jesus Christ as Messiah. Although some of the Jews accepted Jesus, most of them did not. However, by Israel's rejection of the Messiah, the way was made for the Gentiles to be grafted into the tree. What I mean by this is that in symbolic language, Israel had been the original chosen people of God. They are referred to as a tree, which is generally used in Scripture to symbolically describe a single nation. Israel was the great tree, and the kingdom of Israel grew up exceedingly tall and branched out. At times, this tree was so great that it provided shade for many nations, such as in the time of Solomon's kingdom. However, when Israel rejected and crucified Jesus Christ, most of the branches of this tree were cut off. This means that Israel was destroyed as a nation and its power was gone. However, it was not entirely destroyed, for the root of Israel's tree is still there. The Apostle Paul described Israel this way, as the root of the tree, and we Gentiles as wild olive branches, which were grafted into that original root. This doesn't mean that Israel has any righteousness without believing in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, but means that Israel was taken away as a nation until such time as the other nations of the world have their day. That's exactly what is taking place at this current time. We Christians are not necessarily Jewish. Some Christians are, but most Christians are made up of Gentiles. And just in case some of you were wondering, the term Gentile just refers to nations of the earth. In biblical terminology, a Gentile is someone who is not a Jew. They're from the other nations of earth and not from the nation of Israel. So if you're not a Jew, then you are automatically a Gentile. Most Christians have this Gentile heritage rather than a Jewish heritage. Now, notice that in Revelation 12:6, the woman, which is Israel, is being taken out of the picture for the next 1,260 days. This is because she had fulfilled her purpose. What this means is that God had chosen Israel to be an example to the world by living under the law of commandments and thereby demonstrating two things. One thing that was demonstrated through Israel was that man was continuously sinful by nature. The law of Moses accurately demonstrated this. It was through the law that mankind is condemned, for the law clearly described the righteousness of God and the sinfulness of man. The second thing that the law accomplished was to demonstrate that no man could keep the law perfectly. Therefore, it became known finally that there could be no salvation apart from the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. It was at this time that the purpose of Israel came to a temporary end. I say temporary because their purpose is not entirely finished. Let me explain this part more specifically. The times of the Gentiles, as referred to in Luke 21:24, began in AD 70, when the Roman general Titus came and destroyed Jerusalem. Now, AD 70 is an important date in history, not so much that Rome's general destroyed Jerusalem itself, but also because along with the destruction of the city, the temple of the Jews was also destroyed. It was torn down, with not one stone being left on top of another. This was the symbolic end of the Jewish nation, as well as the Jewish religion. Without a temple, Israel could not practice the worshiping of God. This is because, according to the law, no Israelite was to worship God in any other place except in Jerusalem, where God had put his name. The Jews were driven out of Jerusalem and became wanderers for almost 1900 years. It wasn't until 1948 that the Jews were able to return to their former land and that Israel was once again proclaimed as a nation. This was what Revelation 12:6 is referring to as God's provision of a place for Israel where she would be fed for 1,260 days in the wilderness. This is also referred to in verses 13 and 14. Let me read these verses. It says, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman who brought forth the male child. And to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent." Now, a time, times, and half a time is the same thing as the 1,260 days referred to in verse 6. They both refer to periods of 3.5 years. However, as we well know concerning these times of prophecy, it cannot be accurately determined what the times actually mean. To say the least, the time does not actually mean 3.5 years. But I might make a suggestion here. In my opinion, for what it's worth, I believe the 3.5 years, 1,260 days, or time, times, and a half a time, is referring to the second half of God's overall plan, which finds its perfection in the number 7. The first half of the 7 was God's Old Testament, and the second half of the 7 is the New Testament. I believe what we're seeing is the time of the Gentiles in which the Jews do not play a prominent part, just as in the Old Testament, the Gentiles did not play a prominent part. Of course, this is only my opinion. You can make your own judgment for this. Anyway, consider that Israel has been provided a place of hiding for the last couple of thousand years, and now the times of the Gentiles are coming to an end, or possibly have come to an end, in the sense that Luke 21:24 speaks of the times of the Gentiles as being the time that Jerusalem is walked on by the other nations of the earth. This has taken place. Since 1948, it is Israel which has once again treaded on the streets of Jerusalem, yet not completely, since the Muslims still occupy much of it, and especially the Temple Mount where the Temple of God formerly stood. Now, returning to Revelation 12, 13 and 14, and looking also at verses 15 and 16, we see that Satan persecutes the woman who has brought forth the male child. She escapes into the wilderness, and then the serpent, which is Satan, attempts to completely destroy the woman. He casts out of his mouth a flood like water in order to destroy her. Of course, God's provision for Israel continues, for he causes the earth to swallow up the flood, and by this, Israel escapes annihilation. This flood from the mouth of Satan, which appears as a flood of water, is a great torrent of lies. The Bible uses water to denote knowledge. However, in Scripture, the truth of God is referred to as pure water, and the lies of Satan are referred to as contaminated water. Water is a significant symbolic term. The truth of God is described variously as a pure river of water issuing out from the throne of God, or as wells of living water springing up from the ground. It's also described as the fresh, cold water that comes from the melting snows of the mountains. But Satan's lies are not described as pure water. His lies are described biblically as oceans that heave and toss themselves at the higher ground. His waters are muddy, and they cause the dust of the earth to turn into quaggy mire, which will cause man to become stuck. In the story of Peter walking on the water, we see the waters described as boisterous waves, which bring doubt. Peter's faith was destroyed when he saw the waves boisterous, and he began to sink. This is a reference to being drowned in Satan's sea of destruction. His sea of lies will destroy the truth of God. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he created a firmament. A firmament is an expanse. It's an opening between two things in which you can see. It's a space that has opened up. This was the separation which took place between the two kinds of waters, which was actually a separation between the truth of God and the lies of Satan. You can find this reference in Genesis 1:6, where it says that God spoke the firmament into existence in order to separate the waters from above from the waters which were below. So in this sense, what issued out of Satan's mouth like a flood were lies which were calculated to bring hatred against Israel in order to bring about her destruction. There never has been such a torrent of lies spread about any nation more so than about Israel. In every nation under earth, the Jews have been downgraded and tormented because of the lies spread by Satan. And for that matter, I might add that the lies have been spread even by Christians and so-called Christians. Yes, Israel certainly did reject the Messiah, and yes, they certainly did crucify him. However, as we see in Romans 11:25, the blindness of Israel is only temporary until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. When exactly the scales will fall from Israel's eyes and they recognize Jesus Christ as being the true Messiah, we still do not know at this time. However, we do have the scripture of Zechariah 12:10 through 14, which shows us that at some future time, Israel, at least those of Israel who truly are looking for their Messiah, will finally recognize that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and that they have actually crucified the one they were looking for. It will be a realization on the part of those Jews whose eyes have been blinded. This is what the Apostle Paul is referring to when he says that blindness has taken place in part until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. I believe there will be a time for Israel when the scales will fall off of their eyes, and they will suddenly realize that Jesus was that true Messiah. The acceptance will not come from every Jew, but only from those whose eyes are opened by God. At that time, they will mourn for the one they have rejected and killed. It will be the biggest revival for Jews for Jesus that the world has ever seen. And also, it will be at this time that the great tribulation, the great persecution of Christians, will come to an end. Now, in order to follow this train of thought about Israel, we've skipped some verses of Revelation 12, and we must go back to verses 7 through 12, as well as chapter 13 in the first 13 verses of chapter 14. However, we're out of time for this week, and we'll have to pick up here next time for part 2 of Revelation's synopsis of end time events. I hope you can be with us.